Welcome to the Stats Modeling the World Instructors Podcasts. 10 points in under 10 minutes. We hope you find them helpful.
Hi, this is Dick DeVoe. Today I'm going to be talking about Chapter 21, More About Tests. In Chapter 21, we examine in more detail several important aspects of statistical inference. We'll look at p-values, alpha levels, type 1 and type 2 errors, and power. We'll clarify the connection between confidence intervals and hypothesis tests, and discuss the important distinction between statistical significance and meaningful importance. Here are 10 important points to keep in mind. 1. Although we do talk about alpha levels in more detail here, we want these to continue to provide general guidelines rather than firm decision rules. We'll stick to the p-value approach to decision making. 2. Several times in this course, we've encountered words that don't quite mean the same thing in statistics as they do in everyday use. Here's another: significant. When we say that a result is statistically significant, we mean that it's unusual. So unusual, we have to reassess our underlying assumptions. That may or may not make the result important, and usually that's what we mean when we call some news event significant. With enough data, we might be able to detect even slightly better fuel economy with premium gasoline, but given the extra cost, we might not think that gain is important. 3. Students learned to create confidence intervals in Chapter 19 and to test hypotheses about them in Chapter 20. Now they should begin to use a confidence interval to expand their conclusion following a hypothesis test. For example, after saying there's strong evidence that a lower percentage of current teenagers are smokers, it's important to add that we're pretty sure the rate is now between 12% and 16%. 4. We can also use a confidence interval as the mechanics of the hypothesis test instead of finding a p-value. Create a confidence interval based on the observed data. That interval represents the range of plausible values for the parameter. If the hypothesized value is included, we can't reject it. If the hypothesis value of the parameter is not in the interval, then the observed results cast doubt on the model, and so we must reject it. Be sure to point out how your informal choice of alpha is related to the level of confidence. 5. Using confidence intervals in conjunction with hypothesis tests prevents the perfect opportunity to call attention to the difference between a standard deviation and a standard error. Because we pretend to believe the null hypothesis, we use its value for the population proportion to find the standard deviation of our sampling distribution model. But for a confidence interval, we use the observed sample proportion to estimate a standard error. That's what makes the relationship between confidence intervals and hypothesis tests slightly imperfect for proportions, but close enough for our purposes. 6. Type 1, type 2 errors and power will make the most sense in the context of an example. We test a new pain reliever to see if it cures headaches. Students should be able to explain in context both what the errors are and what the consequences are of making them. 7. After students understand these basic concepts, you can explore the interconnections among the errors, power, effect size, and sample size, again in the context of an example. The more effective the headache medication is, the more likely we are to notice that it works, and so the greater the effect size, the greater the power of our test, and the less likely we are to commit a type 2 error. 8. Note that we get to control the risk of a type 1 error by the level of proof we demand. A higher level of proof, a lower alpha level, offers greater protection against one error while increasing the risk of the other. By lowering alpha, we'd be less likely to market an ineffective pain reliever, a type 1 error, but we'd be more likely to overlook one that actually does work, a type 2 error. 9. After students see that the errors and power usually work against each other, ask them if there's any way to have it all. Reduce the risks of both errors and increase power simultaneously. Someone should suggest increasing the sample size. Get them to explain that this works by reducing the variability in the sampling model. 10. But don't spend any time here actually calculating power or the probability of making a type 2 error. These calculations can be difficult and confusing, and are of limited usefulness to students in an introductory course. It's less important for students to worry about how to find the power of a test than to understand what power is.
Thank you very much. This concludes our discussion. We hope you find it helpful.